Amen. Joshua chapter number 3. By the way, I want to say this. I know the pastor's not here, but I appreciate the opportunity to preach. I tell him this, and I know there are many preachers here in this church, and any number of men could have been called upon to preach while the pastor's away, and he's asked me, and so I count it a privilege and an honor to stand behind this pulpit, and so I just want to say that, and now it'll go on the internet, and he'll get to hear it if he listens. But I've told him before. I've told him before that. And I heard Tom Malone say, I read a lot of scripture this morning, and I heard Tom Malone say that he likes to read, or liked, he's in heaven now, but he would read a lot of scripture before he preached just to wait till he got up enough courage to preach. And that's how he talked, kind of. So I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture again tonight in Joshua chapter number 3. He also said that he started preaching at Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga there for one of the Sword of the Lord conferences, and it was getting to be 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that, when he started to preach. And he said, "I won't keep you too long. It's about my bedtime." And he said, "If I fall asleep, I just want you to do one thing for me. Don't leave me in here by myself with all the lights out in this big place. I would hate to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and be someplace and I didn't know where I was." I don't know. I thought that was funny. Joshua chapter number 3. I don't read a lot of scripture. I tell stupid jokes, and then I get up the courage to preach. In Joshua chapter 3. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bare the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Passed clean over Jordan. Tonight I'd like to preach on that street sign that I saw. And I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. We'll find it, sort of. Not the word, but you'll find the principle and the idea in this chapter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. And Lord, I pray that you will bless the preaching of thy word And again, Lord, speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray that I'll only say the things that you would have me to say. And Lord, help me to not say anything that you wouldn't have me to say. And God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts again, Lord, and give us a good night. Help us to honor thee. In Jesus' name, amen. I was driving for work out by the airport on Anderson Road. And I had gone down Sly, headed out west, and taken it all the way down. And if you go to the left at Anderson, it's Hoover, it's not Anderson, headed down toward Air Cargo and Hillsborough Avenue. And if you turn right, it's Anderson. You take that up on up north, and or toward the north. And just north of Sly Avenue and right before Waters Avenue, there was a sign on the side of the road. And I think it was a sign that was supposed to say begin road work or begin construction or something like that. When I was talking to Brother Paul earlier, he said, well, it could be stop and think about what you're doing. It could be yield to the Lord. It could be one way to get to heaven. It could be why Islam. That's what he said. That's not it. There was a sign there, and instead of saying begin construction or begin road work or begin whatever it was that it wanted you to begin, it just had one placard, one metal placard on this sign pole, and it said begin. Just begin. And I saw that, and I thought, that's interesting. Begin what? And then I got to thinking about all the things that I need to begin. And you hear many sermons about finishing strong, and you're probably going to hear one about that on Wednesday night, unless the Lord leads me differently. But there's a lot of things we ought to begin. A lot of things we ought to begin. And so I saw that street sign. No, it's not stop, it's not yield, it's not any of those things. Begin. Begin. Simply begin. And this account in chapter number 3 of Joshua is when the Israelites began to take the promised land. When they began to enter into the promised land. They crossed over Jordan. There were some battles, and the children of Israel defeated the king of Sion and some other people on the east side of the Jordan. And the part there that they divided up and gave to a couple of the tribes, half tribe of Manasseh and all of that. And you remember Moses said, make sure you cross over when we're fighting the bad guys in the promised land, because you be sure your sins will find you out. You know all that story. And so there were some battles that had been won before they crossed over Jordan. But as far as entering into the promised land, this promised land of God, this was it. This is the beginning of the entrance into the promised land. And not only was it the entrance of their, the beginning of their entrance into the promised land, but they didn't wade out into the water before the waters parted. They stuck their foot in the brim, right in the edge of the water. So as soon as their feet hit the edge of the water, they stuck their feet in, the waters parted. So they had just begun to cross the Jordan River. And so tonight I want to preach on begin. Begin. Just begin. Many of us either have made or will make New Year's resolutions. I make one every year, and it's the same one. Lose weight. Lose the gut. Every year. And I always say, well, I'm going to start working out, and I just don't have the equipment. I have the equipment. Now I do. Well, I'm going to start exercising. I need a plan. I mean, I don't know what exercises to do. I got those for Christmas. Thank you, Sherry. Now the only thing holding me back is me. Begin. Thank you. Trade your spots. Begin. Begin. Now I have to begin, or then I have to watch Jacob and Emily and Ethan and Jeremiah for the weekend. That's what I hear. Anyway, you guys don't care about that. Back to Joshua 3. Begin. Begin. So with this idea of beginning in mind, let's look at this chapter. Joshua chapter 3, number one, we just need to begin some things. Just need to begin some things. Number one, let's look at the pursuit. Pursuit. In verse 3, the Bible says, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Go after it. Now the ark of the Lord, the ark of the covenant, it's a type of Christ. And so we could say for us, we're not going to follow after the ark of the covenant because we don't have it. We don't need it. We've got the Lord. We've got the Lord. But the ark of the covenant is a type of Jesus Christ. And so I could say to you tonight, go after him. Go after him. If we're going to begin some things, if we're going to begin to be the Christians we ought to be, if we're going to begin to live in the promised land, in that victorious Christian life, we've got to pursue him. We've got to go after him. Pursue him. I wish that the defense today and the Buccaneers had done a little bit more pursuing and a little bit more catching. Anyway, I'm not supposed to talk about that until church is over. Pursuit. Go after it. Go after it. Go after the Ark of the Covenant. When it moves, they moved. When it moved, they moved. When the Lord moves, we ought to move. When the Lord gives us something to do, leads us to do something, we ought to move. We ought to do it. How many times, I can think of how many times that I've stood in line someplace or that I've driven by someplace or thought about somebody and God has laid them on my heart that I ought to tell them about Jesus. I ought to give them a gospel tract. Well, Lord, I don't. One time I was in Sears getting new tires. I was just a teenager, I think. I was young enough for the guy in the line to be quite a bit older than me, and I was really nervous. And I said, well, I can't talk to him about the Lord. He's so much older than me. He's just going to think I'm a dumb kid and doesn't know anything about anything, and he's not going to listen to me. I talked God right out of making me talk to him about the Lord, you know. But when God moves us and leads us to do something, go after him. Go after him. But don't follow too close. Look at it. Don't follow too close. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. You've never gone this way before. And we can't get too close. We've got to get ahead of the Lord. We've got to go after him. We've got to pursue him. Follow him. But a lot of times we'll get ahead of him. We'll get ahead of him. There's been times I've been ahead of the Lord or tried to get ahead of the Lord, and it never ended well. Never, never ended well. When I graduated Bible college, and I suppose every Bible college graduate feels this way, I want to go into full-time ministry right now. I don't want to work a real job, so to speak. I just want to go out and get in the ministry full-time. Just go. And I was close to doing that. God spared me. God spared me. We were about to move to Georgia. It's not bad to move to Georgia, but it would have been bad to move to this place because it was out of God's will. It wasn't what God had for us. I was getting ahead of the Lord, ahead of him. But the Bible says not to get too close. You haven't passed this way before, and you've got to know the way you're going to go. And the only way we'll know to go, the only way that we'll know which way to go is if we stay far enough behind the Lord and we can follow him. We can follow him. This doesn't mean that he doesn't want to be near us. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want us to be near him. It just means he wants to make sure that we can see him and that we don't get tripped up on stuff before he gets there. You with me? Say amen if you're with me. Amen. All right. Good. Number one, the pursuit. Don't get ahead of him. Go after him. And when I think of going after something too, I don't think of, you know, just kind of, I'm not going after anything right now. When I think of going after something, I mean, you're going after it. You know? Got your head down. You're ready to go after it. Right? Go after him. When we talk about going after the Lord, pursue him. Pursue him. Go after it. The Bible says there, go after it. And then in verse 5, you see number 2. Not only the pursuit, but the purity. Purity. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The word sanctify there means to consecrate or to devote to a purpose with deep dedication. Set yourself apart for one task, going after the Lord. Set yourself apart. Tomorrow God's going to do wonders among you, but first you got to get right with God. Got to get right with God. And so if we're going to begin to live this victorious Christian life that God wants us to live, if we're going to begin to do anything that God's put in our hearts to do, We're going to have to go after him, number one. Pursue him, number two. Number two, purify yourselves. Purity. Got to get right with God. And I'm convinced that God will be able to do more with us. But many Christians have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And they wonder what's wrong. You know? They wonder. They wonder what's wrong. I got a call from somebody one Saturday morning. Woke me up. It was early. Like 9 o'clock. No. It was early one Saturday morning. Got a phone call. And this person was fighting a drug habit. And had been clean for a year. And then got into trouble again. Fell off the wagon, so to speak. And this person said, what do I do? How should I handle this? You know, I was doing so well. I was doing so well. It's been so long. And I said, well, it really hadn't been that long. I mean, it's been a year. I said, but before that, you were, you know, on it, on drugs, off drugs, on drugs, off drugs. I said, you got to get one foot out of the drugs and one foot out of the church and put both in the church, both in with God. And I said, you've got all these things tying yourself to your former life and to that drug culture and you've got your dealer on speed dial and all these things. I said, you just got to cut that off and get rid of it. And that's the truth. That's the truth. If we would get one foot out of the world, I'm preaching to myself. I'm really preaching to myself. Catch myself sometimes with even a football game on TV and the commercials come on and you see all these things about God knows what and all the things that they want you to drink and things that they want you to do or you listen to sports radio and you hear all kinds of different commercials for different things that are just ungodly. And I think, I need to get my foot out of the world. I just need to get my foot out of it. You know? Put it in the church. God could do so much more with me and with you if we would just get rid of the stuff that's holding us back. Just take our foot out of it. I heard about a guy, an old pastor of mine told me this. He worked for, where his dad worked, for Lester Roloff, was the plumber, or one of the plumbers, and over in Texas. And they, of course, would take in, you know, boys and girls and men and women just in bad situations with drugs and alcohol and all those things. And one man was, he said he was going to quit drinking whiskey. But he had a bottle hid in the pantry and had a bottle hid out in the garage and had a bottle hid in the bathroom and had bottles hid all over the place. He was going to quit, but he never could, and he wondered why. Well, he had to get rid of the bottles that he had hiding in his house. And if we're ever going to really do what God wants us to do, we're ever going to begin. We're going to begin. Are you with me? Are you with me? If we're going to begin, we've got to purify ourselves. There's got to be some purity. Purity. Number one, the pursuit. Number two, the purity. By the way, Psalm 119, verse 2, the Bible says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. We've got to seek him with our whole heart. That's what we're talking about here. Get right with God and go after him. Purify yourself. Pursue him. And when you do that, you'll begin to see some great things. I've written in my Bible, I don't know who said it, but I've written here, worship always precedes wonders. Right there next to verse 5. Maybe you can write that in the margin of your Bible if you'd like. Sanctify yourselves. Worship always precedes wonders. Lord will do wonders. Lord will do wonders. Number one, pursuit. Number two, purity. And number three, you see the presence of God. The presence of God. I think we get scared. I think we get scared. I imagine these Israelites were walking up to the Jordan River in flood season. I mean, it wasn't just a little stream or a creek, you know. It was a big, raging river. And God said, put your feet in there and then I'll part it. Huh? I mean, I imagine they were a little scared. I know my kids, we go to the beach and they see the waves come in. They'll get right up out of the water, and then that wave will come in and crash, and that white foam, and you know, you think they'd Jaws coming after them or something. I don't know. I'm getting heckled by my own daughter when I'm preaching. And I imagine the children of Israel were like that, you know. They get up and look at that. That's a raging river. You get scared. When you start to live for God, it's scary. And I don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that all of us here aren't living for God and that we're all terrible Christians. But every one of us can be closer to the Lord than we are right now. Every single one of us can be closer to the Lord than we are right now at this moment. I know I could be. I know. Every one of us could be closer to the Lord. But it's scary. It's scary. We just have to begin. We have to begin. And it won't be as scary when we see this third point. Not only the pursuit, not only the purity, but the presence of God. The presence of God. Verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So I will be with thee." And then down in verse 10, Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you." The living God is among you. I'm going to tell you, the living God is among us. He's among us. And you know, we can talk all day long about how bad the neighborhood is, and we did. We talked about it today. And it is a bad neighborhood. And we can talk about the society that we live in. And it is a bad society. And we can talk about the new laws that may be passed or may not be passed. And we can talk about all these things that are going on around us. But God is among us. And He's the living God. And if we get that through our heads and into our hearts, then we'll begin some things. And we'll live for God. Maybe we'll get that foot out of the world. And we'll start to go after Him. And this stirs me when I read this and when I think about this. We have the presence of Almighty God with us. And He says to me, like He said to Joshua, "As I was with Joshua, so will I be with you." And He says to all of us here, "As I was with Joshua, so will I be with you. As I was with Tom Malone, so will I be with you. As I was with Charles Spurgeon, so will I be with you. As I was with D.L. Moody, so will I be with you. As I was with the Apostle Paul, so will I be with you." Different world, different times, different situations, same living Almighty God. Same one. He says in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always." That means you shouldn't fly. "Lo, I am with you always." That's a joke. Amen. I knew I shouldn't have put that one in here. Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's what God says to us. We have the presence of God. The presence of God. I read something about the Battle of Waterloo. They tell us at Waterloo, when our gallant soldiers were there, and the thin red line had to stand the fire of the enemy hour after hour, and no charge sounded, when silently the soldier had to take the place of the fallen as comrade after comrade fell beneath the withering fire. They tell us that as the Duke of Wellington rode up and down the lines, whenever he appeared, the soldiers whispered, "Here's the Duke. Here's the Duke. And stand firm." And they stood firm. Oh, how they stood. So let us say, "Here's Jesus Christ," and stand firm. Stand firm. Salute the Son of God, my heart. He is here. He will save you. Christ has come. The Lord Jesus is my Savior. Why should I fear the devil? That's what this Scotsman is saying. Why should I fear the devil? Get Jesus into your heart. Get Him. The Almighty Conqueror, the Son of God, and you're safe. Have you got Him yet? If you have not, you are as certain to go to hell and be damned as God exists. For the devil is an angel and stronger than you. The point is, just like the Duke of Wellington would ride behind the lines there as they were breaking and as soldiers were falling and others would take their place and more soldiers would fall and others would take their place, it would be easy for those soldiers to quit, turn around and run. But the Duke of Wellington would ride by and they'd say, "The Duke is here. The Duke is here." And they would stand firm. And so as we begin to live for the Lord, as we begin to stick our feet at the water's edge and cross over, we begin, we can say Jesus is here. Just as he was with Joshua, he's with us. Just as he is with all those that have gone before us, he's with us. And come what may, we can follow the Lord because we have the presence of God. The presence of God. Number one, the pursuit. Number two, we see the purity. Number three, we see the presence of God. And number four, we see the promise. We see the promise. Joshua says in verse number 9, I like this. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua wasn't just making up a story to stir up the army of the children of Israel. He wasn't just trying to get them to get out of their tents and get across the Jordan. He was giving them the word of the Lord their God. They had God's word on it. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not going to lie. God said, here's what's going to happen. And it did. It did. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth, the Lord of all the earth, passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass. Here's what's going to happen. God's going to show you that he's going to take care of all those bad guys in the promised land, in Canaan, all those people that he wants us to conquer and take their land. He's going to prove to you that he's going to do that. And here's how. Here's how. It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, don't forget, he's the Lord of all the earth, and he's with us. He's among you. Don't forget that. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass. Right there, verse 14, came to pass. Verse 13 says, it shall come to pass. Verse 14 says, it came to pass. It happened. Just like he said it would happen. Just like he said it would happen. And so not only, I'm sure, did the children of Israel's hearts leap with joy when those priests stuck their feet in the water and the waters parted. I'm sure they said, good. Not only because they were going to be able to cross on dry ground, but because they knew when they got there, they were going to beat up all the bad guys that were over there. Because God said, this is how I'm going to prove it. This is how I'm going to prove to you that you're going to conquer the Canaanites and everybody else. Everybody, all those people. All the ites. The termites, somebody said. All of them. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to part the Jordan. And he did. He did. And the children of Israel didn't have to do anything crazy. They didn't have to go through any kind of a ritual or anything like that. The priest picked up the ark, just like the Lord told them to do. They didn't put it on a cart or anything like that. They picked it up just like God told them how to do it. And they carried it, put their feet in the water. Waters parted. They just begun to cross the river. They just began to cross the river. They didn't wade out into 9 feet deep water and, you know, tread water while they got out there. And as soon as they got to the middle, then the waters parted. No, they stuck their feet in the water. Right at the edge. Right at the edge. Waters parted. And they all crossed over. Clean over Jordan. On dry ground. That means completely. All of them. Got across there. They just began. That's all they did. That's it. That's it. And we're not talking about tomorrow, waking up and getting every track you can find back there and every track you can find back there and everyone you can dig up from anywhere else in the building and go out and go downtown and lead 100,000 souls to Christ in one day. We're not talking about anything like that. We're not talking about something crazy. I mean, honestly, that's probably not going to happen. It could, but it's probably not going to happen. We're talking about begin. Just begin. Just get up, put your foot in the water, and watch him part the river for you to cross on dry ground. That's it. Why is it so hard for us to do that? Why? We're not going after him. We got one foot in the world. We're not pure. We haven't purified ourselves, sanctified ourselves. We forget the presence of God. We forget his promises. All those things. So what is it? In conclusion, we've seen the pursuit. We've seen the purity. We've seen the presence of God. And we've seen the promises of God. So what is it? What is it, spiritually speaking, that God has put in your heart to do in 2009? What is it? What is it? Think about it. What is it that God would have you do? Now, I know we talked about that a little bit this morning, maybe giving the gospel out to one person a week, or one a day, or one a month, or two a month, or whatever. But what is it? What is it that God's given us to do, given you to do? You don't have to conquer the world in one day. Just start. Just start. I'm never going to lose my gut. Never going to lose it until I start. Right? Never until I start. And I'm never going to live the victorious Christian life until I start. I start. I don't want to wake up one morning and realize I'm on the wrong side of the Jordan River. And God's on the other side over there doing great things, conquering Canaanites and Hivites and Jebusites and Girgashites, all of them. And I'm on the east side. I'm on the east side of the Jordan, the wrong side. Not letting God use me. All because I wouldn't put my feet in the water. That's it. Put your feet in the water. I'm afraid many of us will end up like that. And God's purpose for us this year and every year is to draw us unto himself. That's what his purpose is for us. He wants to be near us and he wants us to be near him. That's his purpose. But just as you don't take a third grader out of the third grade math class and put them in calculus next year, you don't take a brand new Christian, or you don't take a growing Christian and move them all the way ahead to the greatest Christian ever. You with me? I mean, you can't do it. It's unreasonable. And in other words, if you're not reading your Bible every day and praying every day, then it would be unreasonable for me to say that you need to surrender to preach or to be a great evangelist or to be, you know, somebody right up alongside. It's unreasonable for me to say that. You can just take the next step. That's what I'm getting at. Just take the next step. That's all I'm getting at. Take the next step. If you're not reading your Bible, read your Bible. Take the step. Put your feet in the water. He'll part the river. Part the water. Then you take the next step. He'll part them. It's simple. We just got to take the next step. That's it. That's it. I'm not saying to wake up tomorrow morning and be the best Christian next to the Apostle Paul. It's not going to happen. We take the next step. That's reasonable. That's our reasonable service. Just begin. Put your feet in the water. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. And Lord, I pray that you'll take this message and speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient. Lord, I pray that we've already said that we'll obey whatever it is that you have for us. Lord, I pray now that people will determine they're going to do business with you. And Lord, if there's some here that have never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that tonight will be the night that they trust Christ. Lord, help them to take that step. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to get right with you, that maybe there's some worldliness, some things in their life that shouldn't be there. Lord, I pray that you'll help them tonight, Lord, to identify those things and Lord, separate, help them to separate from it, from that and unto you. And Lord, help all of us, to determine that we're going to be closer to you, be better Christians this year, this day, this hour. And Lord, help us to get our feet wet, stick our feet in the water. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, will you stand?